This podcast is produced by the Minnesota Radio Talking Book Network, part of State Services for the Blind, and it is recorded for people who are blind or have reading disabilities. You can find complete programming of the Radio Talking Book at www.mnssb.org/RTB, and the password is RTB.
Of people living in Minnesota who are visually impaired or blind. The Twin Cities offers many services, tools, and training to assist those who are blind. One in particular is the Minnesota Radio Talking Book Network. We take a closer look into this unique radio station, the services they provide, and how you can get involved. I'm Rena Kaman. Our Issues Twin Cities starts now. Radio reading service for those who are visually impaired or blind was first created here in the Twin Cities, now serving over 7,500 blind listeners in Minnesota and in South Dakota.
The radio station for the blind was actually the idea of Bill Kling. He had started Minnesota Public Radio back in 1967. And most people don't know that FM is divided into channels, FM radio. You have the center two channels that are your right and your left-hand speakers of your stereo signal. But there are additional channels outside of that that are called side channels or sub-channels. And that's where the police band is, Muzak, minority language programming, things of that sort. And Bill Kling, running a public radio station, knew that he couldn't sell advertising. So he was thinking, how do we get a radio station for the blind? And he thought maybe State Services for the Blind would like to have a radio station. So he contacted our director, Stan Potter, who was visually impaired. And Stan Potter had been thinking for some time, it would be great to have a radio station for the blind. How do we do that? So it was a perfect meeting of the minds. 1968 was spent in contracts and research. And we went on the air January 2nd of 1969 as the world's first radio reading service for the blind. It was wildly successful because there was nothing else like it. At the time that this happened, the newspapers in general were not available anywhere to someone who could not read print. Just plain not available. Books, there were some books that were available. Magazines, there were only a few that were available in audio form. We started with 23 magazines. We now have over 300 that we use on the radio. And books were on the air 24 hours a day. We have 11 hours a day of serialized books that are current books. These are books that are published this year or the end of last year.
Here at Radio Talking Book, we provide basically, our primary goal is timely access to the printed word. And so to that end, we broadcast 24 hours of just about any subject that you can imagine. We have 4 hours of broadcasting that's live, that's dedicated to morning newspapers. And then in the evening, we do a live reading of the New York Times. And in between those broadcasts, we have pre-recorded material for current affairs programming, people in the news. We dedicate an hour to different magazines like The New Yorker, Smithsonian, even the National Enquirer. So the spectrum is pretty broad. And so we like to provide as much access to printed material that we can find. I even scour tons of content on the internet. There's a lot of online magazines like Guernica, Eon Magazine, BuzzFeed, Gawker. that provide a lot of our content too.
Sometimes I get suggestions about books and I look at them carefully and I decide whether or not the book is the right length. I like to have something that's more than 200 pages, less than 600 pages. And I like to have something that could be for, I don't mean a completely generalized audience, but something that would not be for such a specialized audience that only a few people are going to be interested in it.
With the advent of online magazines, and we have a lot of subscriptions to regular magazines, but we realize that the internet, you know, just can't be denied, you know, so we have to provide that sort of material for our programming as well.
We're an amazing service. We have also newspapers that are broadcast in 6 different areas of the state. So we have teams of local volunteers in Fergus Falls, St. Cloud, Mankato, Rochester, Duluth, and Grand Rapids that broadcast their local newspapers. We're also connected to a dial-in news system, which is automated voice. So people can dial in and get newspapers through that and pick and choose what day they want and what newspaper they want and what articles they want. And we're also supporters of what's called the NFB Newsline, which has over 300 newspapers across the country. So it's pretty amazing. What we're in now with the radio is also connected to our Braille services, which does brailing for primarily K through 12. We also do recording of textbooks for any blind and visually impaired or reading impaired college student or others that need audio materials. So one of the things that we like to remind people is, although we're connected with state services for the blind, not all of our people that use our services are blind. They're also dyslexic or quadriplegic, or they have cerebral palsy, or they have MS. There are many reasons why people can't read print, besides not being educated.
Coming up on Our Issues Twin Cities,
I love just turning the thing on. I love to turn it on if I'm, you know, getting breakfast ready or doing dishes. I just love to turn it on, see what's cooking.
Why such a unique radio station is so important to those who use it. 45 years later, and now over 7,500 blind subscribers, the Minnesota Radio Talking Book Network is a free closed-circuit information and news service that broadcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to thousands of subscribers state and nationwide.
My husband and I and our 2 children, who were very young, moved to Minnesota in 1983. I was in my mid-30s. It was a very difficult time because we didn't expect to be here. The first thing that I did was to call the comparable organization who could provide service for me as an individual who was blind. That was State Services. From 1983 in the summer until today, I have had this long-term relationship with this state agency, which does fabulous work to support independent living and education for folks who are blind. And so it was then that I learned about the Radio Talking Book Network.
I will order those books through the network of libraries for the blind that exist. There's one in Minnesota, and the one in Minnesota handles the distribution of the books that the Radio Talking Book reads. So again, rather than waiting to hear the book I want to hear that's being broadcast for 20 days at midnight, I will wait until the book is recorded, and then I will obtain it from the Library for the Blind. So I use the radio, but I tend to use it sort of as byproducts of its existence. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I'm using the things that are produced by the radio that you could listen to on the radio, but I am choosing to use them through non-radio means. Without the radio, I would not have access to those resources. So to the extent that the Radio Talking Book exists and I use the books and shows that they produce, it's truly a wonderful resource. But unlike some people like Jane, who I believe actually physically turns on a radio, I use different delivery systems to get my programming.
That service is not just available to me as a blind listener. It's available to anyone who is print disabled for whatever reason. You might be from another country and striving to learn English. Therefore, you are print, you know, hampered or hindered to read English print. If you can't hold a book well anymore, whatever is your need, if print is an issue, you can have access to the service. So I love it for its wide range of available assistance.
It is important in that the radio produces books that are done by local authors and that may not be picked up by the National Library Service, which produces about 2,000 books a year in audio format. I think it's also important for older blind people who may not wish to use computers or who find using computers challenging. But I think that the role of the radio is changing somewhat in that now that blind people can access books directly from Amazon and directly through Apple and directly through Barnes & Noble, the landscape for access to books for blind people has changed drastically in the past 5 to 10 years.
One of the things that I think is important about the Radio Talking Book Network is that it is current. I can often call Stuart Holland, the Radio Talking Book Network director, and say, I saw this interview, I heard it, here's a book, check it out. Their commitment to us is to be current and read a wide range of materials, and they do that well.
And I mean, and what they're doing with the books is good. I don't want to imply that they're antiquated, because they're not. They're doing an important thing, and they're really staying with the times. But having said that, it's not the only way to get material.
It's one of the things that makes my life really full. If I had to choose, wow, it would be right up there as one of the top five. I value learning to use a computer. I use the internet. I do email. My daughter says I won't befriend you on Facebook, so don't get on there yet. So she's running scared. I kid her about that a lot. It's important because in this world, it's essential that the smaller it gets, because we have more access to people, the better the access needs to be. And I think that the Radio Talking Book Network provides excellent information. So I just won't turn loose of it anytime soon.
Having human voices that read things, there is a temptation among some agencies to maybe switch to computers because a computer voice is cheaper, you could read things quicker. But I think that the human element of reading, having a voice transmit the information to you, is important. Reading things that may be somewhat off the beaten path is somewhat important, I think. Reading periodicals and articles is important, again, because some of those things are a little more challenging to access. But no, they have a real history behind them, and they're continuing to move into the future, and they're doing really well. If you want to listen to the radio and have the time to listen to a newspaper at a set time, you can do that. If you don't, then you can access the material other ways as well.
Up next.
And I think it's more to try to reach out to people who are on the go.
The crucial services Minnesota's Radio Talking Book Network provides beyond the medium of radio. The Minnesota Radio Talking Book Network is a community dedicated to offering a variety of services to people who want to meet their educational and career-related goals.
Well, when they come in for services, we need to have an assessment done on them to see what areas they need, maybe some improvement in, what kind of training they may need, if they're looking at college needs, if they're looking at maybe going to a class, if they're going to a technical college, you know. So we kind of do an assessment, and then we help them provide training, and then we work with specialists who can help them develop resumes and do a lot of pre-employment training and work with them. We may encourage them to do some volunteer hours at individuals, to do some internships, to kind of feel that they're ready to enter the workforce. And then once we have them completed the assessments and the trainings and internships, then they can kind of actually figure out which field they're interested in going in. Then we start looking at different job postings and help them through the whole application process, help them during the interview skills, and for the consumers that I work with who are deafblind, we hire state vendors. We have several different agencies and vendors that we have contracts with. And then we would have the vendors help us support our deafblind consumers in doing job development, working on interviewing skills. Individuals who are deafblind have some kind of, you know, dual losses, which need additional kind of training, working with placement and interviewing skills so that we can have them go in and be successful in their interviews. And then once we find out that they've actually been employed, we can go through job coaching with them, make sure that they have accessibility and that all of their needs are met. We can work with them up to 90 days in that arena, working with the vendor, and then they're able to be successfully employed.
We have 500 volunteers for the radio, which is a very large number. And part of that is because of all those places around the state where we do local newspapers. We test our volunteers before we accept them as volunteers. So we have volunteers take a test that includes vocabulary, reading style, and reading types. So a volunteer test would have 100 words that are things like conscionable and, words most people have no idea that your reading vocabulary is three times the size of your speaking vocabulary. So you see words in print all the time that you know what they mean and you just glance past them because you don't use them in conversation. So what we need are people who actually know how to pronounce those words that you don't use in conversation. And then we have, we judge their reading style. So over fiction, nonfiction, newspapers, and then we give specialty tests as well for things like medical terminology, music terminology, and languages.
Producing public service announcements for other radio stations to deliver to their listening audiences, to let them know that if you're blind or visually impaired, or if you know somebody who is, then they can come to Services for the Blind and receive all kinds of advice and assistance.
I did use State Services for the Blind to help me with some interviewing techniques, resume building, and just, you know, things like that.
Is that helpful?
It was very helpful because I had been out of looking for a job for a few years and I wasn't really prepared, you know, to, you know, sit down with someone and do an interview again and just, you know, try to sell, I guess, selling myself, mm-hmm. you know, learning how to sell myself and, you know, having someone with the objective of saying, okay, well, you've done this. You know, you've got reasons to sell yourself. You know what I mean? So confidence, too.
As far as maybe they haven't got, you know, they've gone through the interview and they're hoping for a successful placement. But it seems like the employers look at them and say, oh, a blind person, I'm not sure what to do with them. You know, so they may feel like, you know, I have skills, I have abilities, but we cannot get the business sector or the, you know, the employers to look at them and see that we do have support systems that we can offer. You know, we try to work with the businesses and the bosses and the employers to say that we can provide training to you. We can provide training and resources for your company to see that these are valued employers who can do great work in your business and can be valued employees. And so that's kind of what I see as some of the challenges. As far as the consumers and the individuals themselves, they may have some barriers themselves if they have mental illness challenges that they're working through, or if they're slow at a specific skill that we need to provide more training for them. Maybe reading Braille could be an issue for them. They're not a fluent and fast Braille reader. So the challenges per client, I would say, are varied. But I would say in the employer sector, there seems to be the challenges of them noticing that they can be a valued employee.
I've really been happy with the services I've received from Minnesota. They've listened to me. They've treated me like an individual. They just didn't throw me in a box with all blind people and say, well, this is how the others are doing it. You know, they took and they listened to me and my my needs, and they individualized my services that I got. So it was really good.
The product is more important than the medium. And the medium has changed over the years. One of the things that we do now is the radio station is also available on the internet, and we do podcast certain programs. We also broadcast on something called iBlink, which is a phone app for blind people. And so we have multiple mediums that people are using to access our services. In the original days, of course, it was just a radio, a box. And we still have a box for those people who are older and are used to the radios. And it's a simple-to-use radio. It's always been simple. It's merely an on and off and a volume button, which is great because people who are newly blind are a little bit traumatized by the experience. So if they are given a radio and said, you have to tune this, they wouldn't do it. Having a box where they can just turn it on, they say, this works.
If you're interested in volunteering for the Minnesota Radio Talking Book Network, or are interested in finding more information about this unique radio station, please visit mnssb.org. Thank you for joining me this week on Our Issues Twin Cities. I'm Rena Kaman. See you next time.